God. Bad trips like God. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie. You fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Nigga, hear me, nigga, feel me. We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright.
All right, guys. Woo! It's been a while, but we are back. Adri the Writer is here with the new episode of the Intellectual City Girl podcast with a special guest of mine. We have, yes, a wonderful, a great friend, a very inspirational human being. I've known Jamara. Jamara is a wonderful person, and she has a lot. We have a lot to talk about. You know, there's a lot going on, and she is a couple of things about her is she is the co-founder of Greenwood, and I'm gonna have her explain a little bit more about it. So whenever you're ready, Jamara, you can punch in some things. Mention your Instagram, anything like that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, definitely thank you for having me, sis. I'm glad to be here with you. Just jump right into it to give you a little bit more pains about Greenwood. Since my organization, Greenwood, is a networking platform that allows you to build your network from home. And so when we think about excelling in school, excelling in our career, there's always something or someone who has like more knowledge that can help you navigate those waters and put you on game to be successful. And really people of color, Black people, brown people, we don't really have the access that we need in order to have that social and economic capital. And so at Greenwood, we really just created the tool that connects you to people outside of your network so that way you can gain that access. Because at the end of the day, we just believe regardless of whatever your race is, whatever your gender is, creed, actually should not be the limiting barrier for you to accomplish your goal.
Okay. Wow. I love it. We love to see it, right? We love to see it.
Come on.
And so one of my first question is, well, how do you maneuver within your respective industry as a Black woman?
Yeah, that's a great question. The way that I maneuver as a Black woman is bringing my whole self yes. to work. And really just showcasing all sides of me because I have a lot of like color and personality. And when you think about corporate America and just for me being in the Silicon Valley and corporate America, we are really missing in those spaces, although we're not as prevalent. So it's one of those things where if I don't bring my whole self, then you might never get exposure to it. What it looks like to be friends with someone, to work with someone, to have someone's intellect who comes from an underrepresented background. And so making sure that I don't sugarcoat or switch faces when I'm at work and really show you who I am in full scope.
Okay, I love it. And then how did you grow into your Black identity?
That's an interesting question because I grew up in Florida.
Yes.
South Florida. So when I think about growing into your Black identity, when I look around, everyone's Black. Mm. Everyone's Black, Black or brown. And, you know, we just have a very diverse group of people. So for me, I never had to necessarily grow into my Black identity. I really had no choice. This is my skin. So really 365, this is what I get. But I think the one thing that was more interesting is learning how to really accept and appreciate the culture that I come from. Because a lot of times where you go into spaces where it's almost like you're being silenced for who you are. And I had to learn, and I mostly learned that in college. And when you surround yourself by your community, you appreciate your culture a lot more. And so in college, coming over to the Bay, where we have our group, South Bay Turn Up, which is just a group of Black professionals gathering together and doing different events and social to professionals, I was really able to appreciate, celebrate, and love my culture.
I love it. And then Growing up, where did you look for inspiration? Who or what inspires you now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always look to large my, when I think of inspiration, I always look towards like my peers and my family. Me, personally, I'm a first generation student. Yes. And so me being the first one in my family to go to college really paving the way. I look towards my parents, yes, because they didn't do it and they've always pushed it. It was never like an option. Yes. It was always like, this is what's happening next for you because we didn't have it and we want you to have the opportunity and we paved the way for you to have the opportunity. So that was always inspirational for me. I think as I got older, I gained mentors that really inspired me to appreciate my journey, to appreciate who I am, and really just to come in my own. And I think so my mentor is Jasmine Higgins, one of my mentors, and she's always inspired me. And then my friends, I always surround myself with a group, yes, of successful, beautiful women such as yourself. And when I hear your stories and we create community, I always get inspired by what you guys are accomplishing, how you guys take care of yourselves, how do you guys uplift each other. That inspires me. Community inspires me.
I love that. And then just a little side question. What school did you go to?
Yes. So for my undergrad, I went to the University of Central Florida. And then for my MBA, I went to Rollins College in Florida.
Okay. We love it. We love to see an educated Black queen. And then how has yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then how has your experience at Cisco helped prepare you to create your own company?
Well, I actually just started with Cisco this week. And so that has been interesting. And I know that's going to be a great journey. Yes.
Congratulations.
Prior to Cisco, I have been working at a IT staffing agency as a project manager there. And so I've always had my feet in nonprofit, education nonprofit realm, and as well as tech. Yes. And so both of those experiences and just my educational background as well has really prepared me slightly, because you really can't really prepare for entrepreneurship.
Yes.
But prepared me and gave me the tools to be successful, the baseline, in order to create this my own company with my co-founder Trey, Greenwood X. So the way that they have prepared me is just being ready for anything.
I love that.
When you're an entrepreneur, things really just don't go how you planned in your mind and like super smooth and XYZ. And so it's like, okay, well, you got knocked down, get back up. You got knocked down, get back up. And kind of maneuvering that and realizing no one's going to do the work for you. You got to get on the ground and put 10 toes down and start walking, running even, if you really want to get whatever goal that you're trying to obtain. So I think all of my background and experience has just created me as a resilient person.
Okay, I love it. And then why is it important that Greenwood exists or companies like Greenwood?
Yes. Yeah, it's so important because right now we, and with the state of everything that's going on, it's more important that our voices are silenced. Black communities, our voices are silenced. And even when we try to amplify our voices, there's always someone in the background that's just like, no, be quiet, right? And so this is Greenwood X is really just a tool for us to amplify our voices and for us to share that knowledge that we have gained. There's a lot of times, and it happens a lot in just the Silicon Valley areas, mm-hmm, where you'll see that one Black person who's at some big tech company, mm-hmm, you're like, yo, you made it. Oh, yes, my gosh, like, give us the keys. What'd you do different? Right? And it's like, we all want to know, quote unquote, that secret sauce. Yes. And there's really no secret sauce. It's like some basic information. Yes. It's like, oh, I talked to this person. Oh, I just like reached out to my network. Basic keys that other communities already have, that knowledge that they already have, that connection that they already have, that really got them to where they are. And it's like, how can we become a well-connected community within ourselves? So that way we're able to all grow as a community and gain that social capital, gain that economic power that will help us reach whatever goal that we have. And so it's so important right now to build that community, but also give back to that community. Now is the moment, now is the time. And I'm super excited about Greenwood Action and what we're doing and how everyone's really just coming together to help build this platform.
Of course. And then when are you going to be releasing Greenwood to the public?
Yes. So we're actually going to be releasing on June 19th, other known as Juneteenth. We're super excited about it. Like I said, as our community is coming together, a lot of Juneteenth plans are canceled due to COVID, but we still want to be able to celebrate and get people connected and come together. So we're launching 2019. Definitely go ahead and check us out on GreenwoodX.org.
Yes. And then why did you guys choose Juneteenth? For those who don't know, some people.
We chose Juneteenth just because. I'll break it back. So we chose Juneteenth just because it's a celebratory day in Black American history. It's the notification of when the last slave was notified that we were free and we're no longer slaves. And so that was one of the reasons we chose it, because it just has a celebratory meaning behind it. And also just our Greenwood X, our name also has a celebratory meaning behind it, or I would say a meaningful meaning behind it as well. So Greenwood, the reason we called it Greenwood initially and now is because we wanted to basically pay homage to 1921 Black Wall Street, which is actually the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow.
And so our idea is that in 1921, you could go there and you would find a Black professional, someone you can meet in your field and have that knowledge, that conversation, that one conversation that'll really help you in your goals. And so because Greenwood was burnt down in the race riot and it no longer exists today, that community, that wealth no longer exists today, we want to pay homage and recreate that with Greenwood X. So
I'm wishing you and Trey all the best with Greenwood. I feel like it's going to, all this momentum going on in this, just going to be a wonderful company. And then we're going to do a transition now. We had previously chat about this wonderful book by Elaine Weatherroth. She was the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue, actually the first African-American woman to ever achieve that. And she had just recently released her book, More Than Enough. And we had both read it, and then we were going to discuss it.
Yep.
And then I was like, well, let's discuss it on a podcast as well. And so I have some questions catered to the book and also a little bit about your company. The first question is, you know, the world often tells people, especially Black women, that they aren't enough. How does Elaine book relate to you? Like, and what does it bring? And also, what does being more than enough mean to you, basically?
I'll start with it with the first question of what ways did her book relate to me? I read that book actually 4 months ago, and the season that I was in, I was completely done with my job mentally and emotionally. I was just like, this isn't it, sis. You got to be able to up and move. You got to be able to up and move. Yeah. And I wanted a change. I wanted something different. And I had been with my organization, great company, by the way, for at that point, 3.5 years. And I was kind of just in that phase of like, I want more. And I've been telling myself, you know what, you're going to leave this job this year and you're going to go find a new one. And that's what I've been saying to myself for at least a year. Mm-hmm. And so when I read this book, More Than Enough, in February, it completely catapulted me to leaving that role, going and getting my project management certification and just excelling my career like I wanted to. And it gave me the confidence to do that. One of the chapters that they have in there is called Your Dreams Are Calling.
Yes.
And like one of the quotes that they have under it is, the thing that you are seeking is also seeking you. And so that book just provided a lot of affirmation for me that, one, that I am enough, that my story is enough, my background, my skill set is enough. And it's like everything that I'm craving is also craving me back. And so it's like, it's almost one of those things where the universe is working in parallel and that it's manifestation, essentially. Everything is working in your favor. And as long as you believe that, it will occur. And so that book overall was just powerful. Because I literally finished reading it. I remember I was in Texas. I was in Austin, Texas for the first time. Mm-hmm. I finished the book. And the next day I sent my boss my resignation letter. I was like, I'm going to be leaving in 3 weeks. And that's that. And so that's the type of power I think this book really just had on me. It's just so reaffirming. The second question that you asked of what does being more than enough mean to me? It really just means stepping into your power and whatever that looks like to you, stepping into that, whatever fear that you have, releasing that, whatever goal you want to achieve, going after that. More than enough, it's like whatever you say you are, and believing in that wholeheartedly and making others, by your own beliefs, believe in that as well.
Okay. Well, I love it. Lovely response, Jamara. I really love it. I love it. I think a lot of young girls can look up to you and Elaine for inspiration. And then I have one more.
I appreciate that. Yes.
And then there are a lot of different depictions of success in the world, and especially on social media. Of something Elaine writes about in More Than Enough. Basically, what does success mean to you? And how have you defined it for yourself on your own terms? And that's the first question. Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, how does social media impact our feelings about what it means to be successful? Yes.
Great question. Tackle the first one, what does success mean to you and how do you define it for yourself on your own terms? I'm a very introspective person. And so it's funny when you sent me this question, I remember I wrote this answer down probably my junior year of college. Mm-hmm. And I was like going through my whole internal phase, like just really just analyzing myself and my value and what I want success to be defined as. And mine is very simple. Success is whatever I define it as. It's not, because every season your definition of success changes. How can I be successful in this season? That'll change. So there's no one thing that I have that says that I'm successful. Mm-hmm. And there's no one goal that I'm like trying to obtain for the rest of my life, because again, every season what you put importance on changes. And so I wanted to remain as fluid as possible to those changes that will occur. Because the one thing that I see, if you put one goal, like say I want to make 100 mil by the end of my lifetime, let's say that's your one goal that you have. Every time you don't reach that goal, you are going to be in this rut of like, I'm not reaching my goal, I'm not enough, I'm this and this, and you're going to be downing yourself. So you can remain fluid with whatever your goal is and keep it smaller, keep it more obtainable, make it a smart goal. Then you'll be more likely to achieve it, more likely to have a short-term happiness. Because, again, happiness goes in and out with people, and that's just like the nature of the game. And so success for me is whatever that season is. And for me, this season was, hey, I wanted to work on my own company, and I wanted to do that with Trey and actually give it a fighting chance. I also wanted to move into a big tech company, and that's something I did. So I have these goals that I set up at the beginning of the year, and I break them down into quarters. And they not only range from my professional career, but how I want to be a better friend, how I want to build community within my community. Those are some of the things that I define as successful, and those are how I break down my goals into essentially seasons. The second question that you asked me, which is a great question, because this is one of those things where I mentioned how people can get down in a rut very quickly, is when you're looking to social media in order to define what's successful for you. So a lot of times you scroll through your Instagram and you see all these people, oh, I got a new job. I'm getting married. I have a child. I have this, I have that. And it's nothing but the highlight reel. And it's nothing that's actually real of substance and getting down to the core of like, hey, life has highs, but it also has some really low lows.
Right.
So when we start to depict that as the baseline of what success is, we only just fall into like this very depressive mode and just like this self-talk that's like full of doubt. And it's like, I'm not enough. I can't do this. And it's like, you are more than enough. You got it. Whatever it is you want to obtain, you got it. Get you a nice little circle of girlfriends. For me, it's girlfriends. I have guy friends as well. But like, for me, it's a nice circle of girlfriends who you can share those goals with and talk it out. Because honestly, once you write it down, it will manifest. I have done this for the last 4 years now. There's some things I will write it down once. I would not think about it again. And I'll go back at the end of the year, review my goals. I'm like, oh yeah, I did do that. You know what? Manifesting my goals, black girl magic, hyping myself up all around. But don't believe the hype that's on social media. It's nothing but a facade, and that's okay. We all post our facades, but don't let that be the baseline of why you get yourself down.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's a wonderful response, because I know, as you mentioned, you know, I feel like there's a culture of everybody wanting to be an entrepreneur, a lot of wantrepreneurs. But, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, getting down to the nitty gritty, you know, a lot of people avoid that. So, like, what have you learned through your process with Greenwood on what it takes to be like an entrepreneur? Like, what lessons have you learned?
Yeah, wow, this is even powerful. So the lessons I was talking to my co-founder about this, actually. Sort of the lessons that I've learned thus far is that you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And so you can have this nice, good plan, like, this is how I'm going to execute. I'm going to get this many users by this time frame. And it could all be a wash.
Yes.
And you got to eat that. Like, you got to, okay, bet. Well, write it down over again, start a new process, go ahead and try a new method. You are going to take those L's. That's for sure. You're going to take those L's, and it's not going to be exactly how you plan it out to be, but that's okay. The other thing that I've learned is to get you a good teammate. So me and Trey are building this out, and you can't do it alone. I actually commend people who are like just founders.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no team. It's hard because you really get down on yourself. You're like, oh, I missed this. And then your teammate will come in and you'll be like, no, it's all good. That don't mean nothing. Next play.
Yes.
Like, you're like, you're right. You're absolutely right. And like, they have other knowledge that you might not. Like, me and Trey are very complimentary in terms of like what we know, him being in the tech side, being in the business side. And so having someone who complements your skill set, having someone who supports you, is critical. It's absolutely critical in this game. And get you a mentor, and have your support circle, because it's not an easy journey and it's not an overnight success. It's like the biggest thing I could say.
Okay.
It does not, happen overnight. You won't get it overnight. It is, you're really playing for the long game. When I say long game, I mean like 3 years for you to be like profitable and to like really get going.
Yes.
And that's okay. But if you build a company, the biggest thing I can say, if you build a company because you're passionate about the problem it's solving versus like, oh, I just want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it if you just want to do it, just to do it. you got to be passionate about why you're doing it. You'll be like, oh, well, a hiccup will happen. And you'll be like, well, that's it. I'm throwing in the towel. But if you're passionate about it, you are intertwined in the problem, then you'll solve it. You'll give it your all, even when it's not looking good.
Well, those are all the questions that I have for you, Jamar. Do you have any announcements or anything that you want to add?
Yes, the last thing I'll add is we are doing this big push for Juneteenth to get 1,000 students, yes, underrepresented students that connected to 1,000 professionals. And so we just want somebody to, a lot of times when we think about our journeys, we've had, yes, someone reach out and give us 30 minutes to really help us with our, yes, goals. And so we have created our Greenwood X Challenge for, yes, other professionals to do the same. Yes. Take out 30 minutes of your calendar on June 19th to give to a student so they can get the keys that you've learned so that we can just be successful, yes, as a community. So you can sign up on www.greenwoodx.org. As well as follow our Instagram account, which has more updates and just spotlights of our different community members, which is at GRNWDX.
All right. Well, thank you. And then I'm going to end with that. I'm going to make a few announcements. This is our 8th episode. Make sure to follow. Make sure to follow the Instagram, Adri the Writer, for more announcements, more podcast episodes. And let's end with some music.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. I'm Mac 11, you can boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in a twilight. A pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary.
Hey, that was good. Where did that record? Where did that screen record go? Huh? What the fuck? Trash. Hey, we lit. Oh my God, what's wrong with this? I thought it was cute. She didn't like it. I thought, child. What? I don't get it. It looks just like that one. I don't get it. I figure out, bitch. We lit.